continuing the subject of the great I Ams of the Old Testament and the New, referring to God Jehovah, and referring then especially in the latter days and in prophecy also to the Lord Jesus himself. The last time we considered Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 22, where God Jehovah said there was none else, he was the only God, and he said, "Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved, for I am God, and there is none else." So we need to be saved. We can only be saved by the one God against whom we sin, and he has very graciously, mercifully, and kindly asked us to look unto him. He's the only God, and beside him there's no else, and there's no one can save. It's in New Testament language we read in the Acts. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. No other name but the Savior's name. But in order for us to be saved, a sacrifice had to be made, an offering had to be made. God's righteousness had to be vindicated. Blood must be shed. For without shedding of blood, there's no remission. No remission of any kind, friends. Without the shedding of blood, God's divine principle. And so we come to some of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus that were prophesied of him and could only be truly of him in the Psalms, as well as we have them also in the prophecy of Isaiah and others of the prophets, of the minor prophets. We have some descriptions of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus. In Psalm 22, the Psalm of the Cross, and Psalm 23, the Psalm of Life, or the difficulties of life in this world, and then Psalm 24, the Psalm of the Glory. In Psalm 22, this is strictly the cross. The Lord Jesus suffering on the cross. For he starts the very first verse saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roarings?" On the cross. Now these roarings referred to here had to be from the inside only, because he didn't say but a few words while hanging on the cross, and they were not because of the anguish and pain, other than these words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? When the Lord Jesus was forsaken, being the sin bearer, he had to bear it all alone. But in verse 6 of Psalm 22, we read one of these great I Ams that we've been referring to. I am what? Verse 6, but I am a worm. W-O-R-M. A worm of the ground. A worm and no man. A reproach of men and despised of the people. What do you think of that? The Creator. Man is creature, has made him, put him into that position, caused his suffering to be so intense that he can say, I am a worm. This is a metaphor. But it indicates the terrible thinking and the terrible acting of humankind toward their Creator and toward their Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. They made him as if he'd been a worm. They did it to him what they would do to a worm. They crushed him underfoot. They despised him. They had no time for him. They rejected him. They refused him. And the awful hatred in their hearts, they despised the Lord Jesus Christ, made him to suffer so much that he says here, "But I am a worm and no man." The awful sufferings of the cross, friends, in order for you and I to be saved, we're not able to take them in. We're not able to understand them. We can only read about them and ponder them somewhat. For here then we read, "I am a worm and no man." The men and women of the country, of the day, caused the Lord Jesus to say, "I am a worm." Their treatment made him no better than a worm. And then he said, "I am poured out like water," in verse 14. "I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax that is melted in the midst of my bowels. I am poured out like water," just empty. Just emptied out, not to be gathered up again. As far as the minds and hearts of those cruel people were concerned, they hoped they'd never see him again. They wanted to rid the earth of them, so they nailed him to a cross, a Roman gibbet, a cross of wood. And he's poured out like water. All his bones were out of joint. Think of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. For you, friend, and for me. "I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels." The excruciating suffering, the horror of being the sin bearer, the terrible shame and ignominy of being made sin for us, made his heart to melt like wax in the midst of his bowels. Again, he can say, "I am a stranger to my mother's children." I am a stranger to my, an alien to my mother's children, to his own loved ones, to his own that he was spent so much time with when he was here living in the home with Joseph and Mary. He becomes at the cross a stranger to them. They do not have anything to do with him. They turn aside from him. And he becomes a stranger to those that were the nearest to him, those who were the dearest to him. "I am become a stranger. I am a stranger." No one cared for his soul. He looked for some to take pity. There was none. He looked for comforters. He found none. There was no one that cared for him. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He was a stranger. Think of being a stranger in the world his own hands had made, upon the earth that he had spoken into existence, in the universe that he brought into existence by the word of his mouth, the creator of all things, the one who holds all things in place, the one who causes all things to consist, the one who keeps you and I alive from day to day, feeds and clothes, causes the food to grow, and the clothing to be made, and houses to live in, work to do, the way of life. He's the creator of it all, friends. And yet, he was a stranger in this own world his hands had made. But, oh friend, this is true. Never again will cruel sinners set at naught our glorious Lord. No, friends, never again. He suffered once. In the end of the age, he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He'll not ever suffer again. Once and forever. when he had offered an offering for sin, he sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. He'll not ever be set at naught again. This is final. He suffered once and for all. Never again will cruel sinners set at naught our glorious Lord. Then he could say also, I am poor and sorrowful. I am poor and sorrowful. When did he become poor? He owned the whole earth. He owned the whole universe. It was all his, including every soul that was in it. He made every one of them, gave them life, caused them to live. But where did he then become poor? My friends, on the cross, when all from lover and friend forsook him and fled, when there was no eye to pity, when there's no one stood by him, where his best and those he loved and knew best turned away, stood aloof, denied they knew him, some of them, that they ever knew him. They wouldn't recognize him. And then when he became poor, yeah, though he was rich, we read, yet he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. My friends, the riches of heaven can be yours now. The tables are changed. You and I are those that are in poverty. On the cross, the Lord Jesus became poor, that you and I might become rich. We are now in poverty, but he stands and waits as the great I am to supply your need. He'll save you right now if you'll turn to him and accept him for yourself. Bless our Father thy word, and grant thy blessing upon our president, upon our government, upon the peoples of this great land, and then throughout the world, and may peace soon come. And we pray, Father, to bless each and every one who hears the word of God today, that may trust the Savior and know him who is the great I Am of eternity. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.